psalm this morning. We'll begin in verse number 19 and then go down to the end of the chapter, the 118th psalm, Psalm 118, and we'll begin in verse number 19. Psalms 118 and verse number 19. Let's all stand for the reading of the Bible. Psalms 118, verse 19. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them and I will praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter, I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me and art become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, which hath showed us light. Bind the sacrifices with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. Thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God. I will exalt thee. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Heavenly Father, thank you for the message, Lord, that you've laid on my heart. Help me as I do the best I can to deliver it to the people, Lord. And thank you for the great truths in the Word of God, how they help us. And of course, Holy Spirit, we need your help. Please, I need your assistance as I preach. The folks need your assistance as they listen. And Lord, we have one sermon, and yet so many lives. One sermon, and yet so many needs. And Lord, we need your help in taking the truths and helping each person apply it to their lives. Give everyone something today, something that'll help them, something that'll bless them. Lord, something that'll help them to be more like Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. This morning, I want to preach on the subject of the power of today. The power of today. I like just saying that word, today. Today. I love it. There's power in that word. There is potential in that word. There's possibilities in that word. And for the Christian, there's peace and promise that comes with just saying the word today. Everyone in attendance here today has this one thing in common. God has given you the gift of now, the gift of today. So far in my life, if this website's right, so far in my life, I've been gifted 21,816 todays. A few more than all you guys, all right? All but one of them are now spent, never to be lived again. They collectively make up my past. You know why? Because they are past. Not a thing I can do about them. I only hold a measure of control over one of the 21,816 todays I've been given, and that is the one that I'm living right now. I'm guaranteed no future todays. So the one I have, and the one I can hold, and the one I can do something with is right now. And I want to say this. I want to live it to the glory of God. I read these great quotes about the subject of today. Dale Carnegie said, today is life. Today is life. The only life you are sure of, make the most of today. I like what Ellen Redpath wrote, obey God in all things today. And your capacity for Jesus Christ will be increased for tomorrow. Charles Spurgeon said, worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrows, but only empties today of its strength. I like that. D.L. Moody said this, a man can no more take in a supply of grace for the future than he can eat enough today to last him for the next 6 months. Or can he inhale sufficient air into his lungs with one breath to sustain life for a week to come? We are permitted to draw upon God's store of grace from day to day as we need it. God will give you what you need today. And Reward Beecher wrote this, no matter what looms ahead, if you can eat today, enjoy today, mix good cheer with friends today, enjoy it and bless God for it. John Newton, that old slave trader that was saved and wrote Amazing Grace, he wrote this: we can easily manage if we will only take each day the burden appointed to it. But the load will be too heavy for us if we carry yesterday's burden over again today, and then add the burden of the worry of tomorrow before we're even required to bear it. So just carry what each day allows. Theodore Epp, by the way, founded and conducted the Back to the Bible broadcast from 1939 to 1985. I love this little statement. He said, "Live as though Christ died yesterday, rose from the grave today, and is coming back tomorrow." I think that'd be a pretty good way to live your life. Rose from the grave today. I want to give you three truths about today. Wonderful, wonderful truths, Bible principles on how to maximize every day of your life, including the one God has given you today. Let me start by saying this. Today's a good day to be saved. It's a good day to be saved. It'd be wrong for me to not start there. You know, I look backward in my past and I can find that day that I received Christ as my Savior. Your pastor says this, I say from time to time at the end of a message, you ought to stop what you're doing from time to time, and you ought to take today and then look back on the timeline of your life from as far back as you can remember, the day you were born all the way to today. Can you look back and find that day, that moment in time where you came under conviction that you were a sinner, that you felt the drawing of the Father, that you understood that Jesus loved you and died for you and paid for your sins and was buried and rose again? And on that day, with that understanding, you called out to receive Christ as your Savior. If you do, then that is the day of your salvation. If not, guess what? Today can be that day. Today can be that day. I love 2 Corinthians 6, 1 and 2. "We then as workers together with him beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." My mind was drawn back as I was meditating on this truth to a man by the name of King Agrippa. We read about him in the scriptures in Acts 26. And you know what? God sent the apostle Paul to preach the gospel. You know, Paul was supposed to show up in front of King Agrippa to defend himself against the accusations that had been made against him and to try to get out of jail. But you know what? The only problem with Paul was he was a preacher. And anytime he saw a crowd, he said, "I'm not going to waste time defending myself. I'm going to preach Jesus." And so he did. Verses 3 through verse 23 of chapter 26, Paul preaches a salvation message to those in attendance that day. And down in verse 24, we read how those present that day reacted to the gospel. You've got one prominent figure standing up and screaming at Paul and accusing him of being a crazy man and being mad and losing his mind. But then Paul turns his attention to King Agrippa. And in verse 24, "And as he thus spoke for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad." Verse 25, "But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest." Then Agrippa said unto Paul, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Isn't that one of the saddest sentences in all the Bible? "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." I believe we read in these verses one of the saddest words in the Bible. It is a word spoken by a man by the name of King Agrippa. The sad word he said was this word, "almost, almost." The statement we find this word in is this: "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." God had sent King Agrippa, the Apostle Paul. Think about that, a spirit-filled soul winner, a man of God, and he preached with power. And you know what? King Agrippa was under Holy Spirit conviction. He wouldn't have almost gotten saved if the Holy Spirit hadn't been working on him that day. Paul shared with the king his personal salvation testimony. He then pointed the king to Jesus Christ. He ignored the scoffer, turned his attention on the one who was listening and under conviction. And here he was at that moment of decision. God the Father is drawing him. The Holy Spirit's convicting him. What are you going to do, King Agrippa? What are you going to do? See, God has created in all of us a free will. Christ was there. Christ would have been willing to save him. But Agrippa had to make the choice. He had to decide that day. In doing so, He speaks the saddest word in all of the Bible, the word almost. You know, God used Philip Bliss to write a song with that title, Almost Persuaded. We sing it here from time to time. Almost persuaded now to believe. Almost persuaded Christ to receive. Seems now some soul to say, go Spirit, go thy way. Some more convenient day on thee I will call. Almost persuaded harvest is past. Almost persuaded doom comes at last. Almost cannot avail. Almost is but to fail. Sad, sad that bitter well. Almost but lost. Think about that. I want to stop when I'm reading that story and just shout at King Agrippa, no, no, not tomorrow. Today, today, today. Think of the eternal consequences of your decision. Make the decision while God is working on your heart today. One preacher said this, people who expect to get saved in the 11th hour often die at 10:30. Think about that. Wow. We have no record in the Bible of King Agrippa ever receiving Christ. I hope that we're surprised in heaven and he did. But we have no record of it. That may have been very well the last opportunity he had. There's no record of him being saved. I mean, can you imagine if he does end up in hell? Can you picture him begging for a drop of water and then shouting up to heaven, come on, God, have mercy on me. I almost got saved. I almost got saved. Can you picture him one day before God at the great white throne judgment? God, you don't understand. I knew the Apostle Paul. We talked about this very thing. And I almost did it. I almost did it. The answer Agrippa will receive is one we here on earth better now consider, and that's this. Almost saved is forever lost. Almost saved is forever lost. So number one, today's a great day to be saved. And let me just encourage you, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, just knock it down, nail it down, settle it today. Number two, let me speak to Christians on our last 2 points. Number two, today is a good day to rejoice and be glad. We read in Psalms 118, verse 24, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. You know, that's a decision. I think if you want a good day, good days, and good days ahead, you ought to just maybe take that verse and put it on a mirror somewhere. And, you know, once you get the cobwebs out, you kind of figure out what day it is and who you are and where you are. And you've woken up a bit and you go over to get ready for the day. Maybe it'd be good to just say that out loud. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Say, preacher, not all days are good days, and not all days it's easy to rejoice. I know. But you know what? Rejoice, rejoice, because God at least gave you that day. Yes. One man said this, they call yesterday the past, tomorrow the future, but only one day is called the present. You know why? Because today is a gift. It's a gift. Rejoice because God gave you today, and rejoice because of the opportunities that every single day holds. There's opportunities every day. And you know what? If you make the decision, I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it, and I'm going to maximize the potential of this day. Just make up your mind. I know some of you, maybe there are limitations, but you know, within those limitations, take that gift and use it and do something for the Lord with it. Let me give you some suggestions on the possibilities of today. You know what? You can, as a Christian, read your Bible today. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You want to have a good today? Just start out by opening up and reading the Bible. Just reading the Bible. And, you know, I've met people that can't read. You know what we've done? We've done this more than once at our churches. We've supplied people who can't read with the Bible on. Used to give it to them on cassette. Do y'all know what a cassette is? Anybody in here know what a cassette is? Eight-track? Anybody know what eight-track is? Wow, just a handful. Thank God. Whatever y'all use now, I haven't the faintest idea, whatever y'all use now, but you know what, you can go on. I mean, most of you have a phone that you can pull out. There's free Bible downloads. One of the blessings and helps for me each and every day is that I travel around, jump in my car and go from point A to point B, is just take my phone out and just hit that button and listen to, you know, I can drive around, just take care of you know, the tasks and knock out things off my to-do list. And in between, I can hear two or three books of the Bible read. It's so exciting just to include God's word into every day. Listen, every day gives you opportunities. You can read your Bible today. You can pray today. You know, there's an invitation, if you've received Christ as your Savior, that God gives in his word. Let me read it to you. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heaven, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You know, that's what the Bible says. Listen, come boldly, come boldly, come boldly. You know, you can start every day by reading the Bible, and then you can include the Bible throughout the day. You can start every day by praying before you leave the house. But folks, don't leave God there. Bring him with you and talk to him all day long. You say, praise that preacher, that's crazy stuff. It seemed that way before I got saved, but after I got saved, it seems kind of normal just to talk to the Lord. He's real. He's real. He's real. And he cares about you. And he wants to be involved in every day of your life. And he can direct you and he can help you. And you know what? The Bible, I love this. We have a high priest. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. I don't know what you're going through. And it may seem like nobody understands, but Jesus always understands. Go to him. Go to him. Talk to him. You ever had something in your life where you just said, you know, I just wish I had somebody to talk to about this, and I don't know who to talk to about this, so I got good news for you. You have a Savior if you're saved. You have somebody that you can talk to. Let me say, not only can you read your Bible today, you can pray today, you can be an encouragement to someone today. What a great ministry. What a great way to live your life. You know, there's so much power in today because of the opportunities that we have. You can touch a life. You can change a life. You know, you can be a blessing to somebody today. You can be an encouragement to somebody today. I love what we read in Ephesians chapter 4, where it says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And God says, listen, there's enough meanness out there, so don't let that be in your heart. Come on, there's enough anger, there's enough gossip, there's enough malice, there's enough bitterness. The world's run by all that stuff. Hey, come on, Christian, get on the victory side. Get on the victory side. There's enough people that are going to drag folks down. Why don't you be one of the people that's going to help lift them up? We're talking about the great ministry of encouragement, and that is available. Preacher, I wish I had a ministry I could get involved with. I just gave you one. The ministry of encouragement. Because you know what? You can touch every life that you come in contact every single day if you're willing to do it. You know, folks, an act of kindness just goes a long way. You know, if you're watching somebody that looks like they're just carrying the burdens of the world, and they're, you know what, you don't know what that one sentence, you don't know what that one word. And I have a friend of mine that, you know, he was away from the Lord. I won't go into the whole story. And he's just away from the Lord. He was struggling. There was a lot of bad things and negativity in his life. And he called me here about, maybe a year ago. And he said, the craziest thing happened. I thought of you and I wanted to call and talk to you about it. And I said, what happened? And he said, I haven't been doing well and I haven't been strong with the Lord, and you know, I've kind of been away from it, and the devil's just kind of beat me down. And he said, I pulled up to a stoplight, and he said it was two lanes, and I'm sitting here in my truck, and there's a car that pulls up beside me, and the guy toots his horn. Now think about this, folks. He toots his horn. The guy rolls his window down. And he says, what you need? And he said, listen, the Lord wanted me to tell you that he hasn't forgot about you and that he loves you and he's got something good for your life. I just needed to let you know that. And he said, the guy that turned, the light turned green, the guy drove off. He said, I just sat there. He said, people are beeping behind me and I'm just sitting there. And all of a sudden he said, next thing I know, tears were falling down my face. He said, I had to pull over, get out of the way. And he said, I just sat there and wept and said, Lord, I just needed to know that. I just needed to know that you still love me. I just needed to know that there's a way back. I just needed to know that there's a forgiving God. I just needed somebody. I needed, and you know what? Since that's happened, he's probably brought that up to me 3, 4, 5 times since then. And he said, I wish I could find that guy. I said, you'll meet him in heaven one of these days. Hey, listen, you have that same power. You have that same power. What are you going to use it for? What are you going to do with it? You know, the Bible says life and death are in the power of the tongue. Come on, haven't we spread enough death? Come on. We're the ones that are born again. We're the Christians. We're the ones that represent the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. So we should be spreading life. Come on, there's enough darkness. Come on, come on, turn some lights on. Spread some light. Make a difference in somebody's life. You know what? You can share Christ with someone today. Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And you know, you think about the power of one day. The power of one day. I mean, I could get up and read my Bible. I can get up and pray. You know what? I can pray and I can go boldly to the throne of grace. I couldn't do that before I was saved. I can do that now because Jesus opened that door for me. I can be an encouragement to somebody today. I can walk around and encourage somebody today. I stopped here a while back, and the guy that manages the Dollar General, and I was watching him, and I was watching his staff in the last year, 2020, and I'm watching all the different, they had to close for a while, and then they could open, and then all of the stuff that they were having to, you know, everybody's small business, every business went through all of this stuff. And I watched him, and I watched his staff, and I watched people quit, and I watched him have to hire new ones. And I just watched, I remember walking in and thinking, can you imagine? Listen, folks, don't get mad at the people that are just doing what they are have to do, okay? They don't need you standing at the cash register lecturing them about why they shouldn't be wearing a mask. They're trying to keep a job. Listen, they got enough things going on in their lives, okay? You got an opportunity to be a blessing. Be a blessing. And I told him one day I was checking out and there was nobody waiting behind me. So I took some time. I said, can I talk to you a minute? And he said, sure. You know, anytime someone wants to talk to the manager, come on. Have you ever had somebody say, I want to see the manager right now? And, you know, is that ever a good thing, you know? Does the manager ever want to come and have that? No, no. And I say, hey, can I talk to you? And you can almost see like, oh, you know, sure. And I said, let me tell you something. I said, I've watched you over the last year. And I said, I've watched the all of the difficulties and all of the situations change and all of the change of rules and your change of staff. And I said, you know what? You have done a great job in keeping this store open and ministering to the needs of this community and doing it with a good spirit. You know, I was in that same Dollar General, folks. Listen to me. I'm just going to tell you this. I was in that same Dollar General about a month before that. And there was a gal that was checking people out. And, you know, she'd been there working probably all day. She had her mask on and she had it down under her nose. And some guy came up with a mask on and just sat there and just belittled her and chewed her out and told her she wasn't wearing it properly. And I watched her just move it up and she's concentrating on doing what she can. I'm next in line. And by the time she gets done and he checks out, he goes, she turns her light off. She makes it about halfway to the break room and she burst into tears. And I'm thinking, listen, we've got to stop this. We've got to stop treating people this way. Okay? If the world is going to do that, then be the world. But I don't care how you feel about masks one way or another. That's not the point. We have got to start as Christians changing the temperature in the room. Okay, I mean, this whole thing, folks, has just turned people on each other, and it's made Americans, we were already bad enough in the way we treated each other. Now, some areas, we're just horrible. Right. Come on, spread some light. Spread some life. You can do that with your life today. You can do that with your life today. Next time I saw her in there, and then, you know, the next time, do you say something, do you not say something? Obviously, it was emotional. Obviously, she was embarrassed. But you know what I did? I just took the change, which was sizable, and I slid it back over. And I said, I know we usually just tip in restaurants, but I've been watching you. You do such a great job. Here, this is for lunch today. And she tried not to take it. But, you know, when Jerry Ross wants to give you something, you're going to take it, all right? Because I'll just leave. And I just left, you know. And I thought, hey, if somebody can make her cry one day, shouldn't there be a Christian go in there and cheer her up on the next day? And so, folks, we have the power of today. How are we going to use it? How are we going to waste it on regretting all of our yesterdays? There's no rewind button. There's no purpose. You know what? Forget it. If you did the best you can to get it under the blood and make things as right as you can, then just go on. Just go on, okay? You can't control all of that. Talking about the possibilities, the power of today. You know what? You can, watch this. You got encouraged a minute ago. Now put your seatbelt on, okay? You can start the project you've been putting off today. Trust me, this part's going to be more painful to the preacher than anybody in here, okay? But you know, everybody that's ever accomplished anything, you know what? They had to have that today start, you know? It's springtime. We can't even hide behind COVID. We're not in shelter anymore. Come on. Come on. Think about that. I want to remind you of the importance of redeeming the time. Ephesians chapter 5, wherefore he said, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. You know, think about that preceding the verbs. He said, awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And if you're not careful, folks, we need a wake-up call every once in a while. We kind of fall asleep. We kind of just get into this thing where we're going through the motions of life, and we're doing the bare minimum. And I don't want America to become that. I'm afraid America's becoming that. I'm not going to, you know, sit up here and lecture, but I just worry that more and more a nation is looking for more reasons to not do something than they are to accomplish something. But the Bible tells us redeem the time because the days are evil. Time is such a valuable thing. Time is life. Walk in wisdom, Colossians. Walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time. Redeeming the time means that you spend time instead of wasting time. And you're given a minute at a time. You got to decide right then, what am I going to do with it? Okay, you know, you can save money. Well, I'm not going to spend this money. I'm going to save it. And then when I need it, I'll pull it out. But you can't do that with time. Each minute will be spent or wasted. You can invest time, but you cannot hoard time. What do you need to start today? Listen, what do you need to start today? Listen to the Holy Spirit of God. What do you need to start today? Much has been written, much said on the subject of procrastination. I like this statement. Dennis Walt Whately said this, time is an equal opportunity employer. Each human being has exactly the same number of hours and minutes every day. Rich people can't buy more hours. Scientists can't invent new minutes. And you can't save time to spend it on another day. Even so, time is amazingly fair and forgiving. No matter how much time you've wasted in the past, you still have today. You still have today. Abraham Lincoln said, you cannot escape the responsibility of tomorrow by evading it today. Procrastination. One wise preacher entitled the message thus, someday is not a week of the day. Someday is not the week of the day. I'm going to get to that. When? Someday. Well, someday is not a week of the day. Pick a week of the day. Today, pick the day. Say the name, not someday. Say the name. Here's your choices. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, not someday, okay? Procrastination is opportunity's natural assassin. Procrastination, here's an unknown poet. An unknown poet! Boy, he's written a lot of things. An unknown poet. I think Anonymous is the only one that's written more than the unknown poet. Procrastination is my sin. It brings me naught but sorrow. I know that I should stop it. In fact, I will tomorrow. Dale Carnegie said, and by the way, in his book, How to Stop Worrying and Start Living, some of these books would be good for you to pick up and read. That'd be a good thing to do today. The best possible way to prepare for tomorrow is to concentrate with all your intelligence, all your enthusiasm on doing today's work superbly. When? Today. That is the only possible way you can prepare for the future. I had a teenager literally tell me this one day. He walked up and he said, my mother has always told me I won't amount to anything because I procrastinate, but I told her, just wait. I said, say that again. And I pulled my pen. I said, say that again. He said it again. I wrote it down. I said, I got a forever illustration for that. Picasso said this, only put off until tomorrow what you are willing to die having left undone. You know, Michael Landon, Little House on the Prairie, he was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer April 5th, 1991. Think about that. 54 sounds old to you young people. He's 54 years old. And those of you that are midlife and older know that that's young. And that's, I mean, he was at the height of his career and height of his fame and height of his fortune. And he's diagnosed with pancreatic cancer on April 5th, 1991, died on July 1st, 1991. Folks, that's April till July at the age of 54. And you know what he wrote during that time? He wrote this: somebody should tell us right at the start of our lives that we are dying. Then we might live life to the limit every minute of every day. Then he put these two words with an exclamation point. Do it! I say whatever you should do, do it now. There are only so many tomorrows. Somebody had this engraved on a gravestone in San Diego, California. While I was killing time, I failed to realize that time was killing me. What project have you intended to start? What is it that God wants you to do? Come on, senior saints. Look up here, senior saints. What does God want you to leave behind for your children and grandchildren? I know you can't do everything, but there's still some things you can do. If God is still left you here breathing, there's something he wants you to do. Don't miss what it is. Number three, today is a good day to listen, to start listening to the voice of the Lord. Say, preacher, what is that thing that I'm supposed to do? This leads us perfectly into our last point. Today is a good day to listen to the voice of the Lord. I'm talking about saved people, but I'm also talking to lost people. If you're a lost person, the voice of the Lord, I can tell you what he's saying, because I know him. My dad once said this: I only have one message to a lost man, and this is it. Get saved today. He said, I only have one message to a lost man. Get saved today. But you know what? As Christians, God has a lot of things that he's trying to communicate to us. In the last few minutes, when I was talking about procrastination, when I was talking about the possibilities, when I was talking about what God wants you to do, what he wants you to do is different in some areas from what he wants me to do. But you need to listen to that. Hey, summertime's coming, I know. And thank God, these kids, you got a summer, good for you. But don't let summer come and go and not accomplish some things that God would want you to accomplish. Hey, that second hand hasn't stopped the entire time I've been preaching, and it won't stop for anyone. Okay, time is going by. So today means it's a good day to listen to the voice of the Lord. The Bible warns us three times in Hebrews about this, the problem as we as Christians develop between us and the Holy Spirit of God. And folks, it's such an important relationship. Seems like the Lord keeps bringing this up in the messages I've been preparing of late. But we've got to be careful. Here's three times in Hebrews. Let me read these verses. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. Hebrews 3:13, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Hebrews 3:15, while it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation. What these things are saying is this: God will talk to people. God will speak to people through the Holy Spirit. He'll speak to save people, and he'll communicate to you, and he'll give you things he wants you to do and accomplish, and he'll guide you. But if you're not careful, you will have damaged that relationship to the point where you don't hear that voice anymore. I want you to look right up here. It's so dangerous and so wasteful to damage the relationship with the Holy Spirit to the point. The Bible talks about we can grieve the Spirit of God. We can quench the Spirit of God. And if we're not careful, we're not listening. We're not hearing his voice anymore. We're not getting direction. You know, if you can get alone privately, and this is, again, I'm not trying to get you to listen to me this morning. I'm trying to get you to listen to him. Okay, a good preacher doesn't insist that you listen to him. They insist and help you and enable you in listening to God. Please listen. Please listen. And I want to help you. But you know, God's trying to communicate to every single one of us. But the Bible says that sometimes we've built up layers of hardness. We've kind of built this wall between the Holy Spirit of God and us. And come on, think about this. Remember a time in your Christian life when you used to be able to hear his voice and get his direction, and that was a normal kind of thing going on in your life? And yet we begin to harden our hearts. What does that mean? That means here's how a Christian hardens his heart. It's not complicated. Listen, obedience to the voice of the Holy Spirit always tenderizes our heart and keeps it tender. Disobedience builds up a layer of hardness. So when the Holy Spirit begin to talk to you and tell you to do some things, and you begin to refuse to do those things, disobey, we start building barriers between us and the Spirit of God. And it's not that he's not trying to speak, it's that our heart's so hard we can't hear. Then the Bible also said our hearts are hardened because of the deceitfulness of sin. Next thing you know, because we're not listening to him, we're getting into things we shouldn't get into. And now sin is building, reinforcing a wall, a barrier between us and the voice of God. And yet three times the word today is used in saying, listen, if you hear God, if you hear the voice of the Lord today, don't harden your heart. I preached a message years ago in Brother Schindler's church, Fred Schindler's church out in Pennsylvania, Landmark Baptist Church. I preached a message. I used to preach a lot called a Holy Spirit revival. And I talk about the whole idea of personal revival is repairing a relationship, a damaged relationship between you and the Spirit of God. And I talked about and asked the people, listen, was there a time when you heard the voice? Was there a time when he was clear? When there was times when, and how long has that been? And I had a man afterwards, he came to me and he said, preacher, he said, I'm sitting out there broken. Because he said, I felt like God spoke to my heart and I heard it for the first time tonight. And it's probably in the last 20 years. And he said, I went to the altar and I apologized for not listening. And you're right. Hardness of heart builds a wall. Deceitfulness. Listen, I wish he was here to give his testimony. He stood there, a saved man, and said, tears running down, said, preacher, you're right. Hardness of heart builds a wall. He said, deceitfulness of sins build a wall between me and God. He said, I want to hear his voice again. He said, how do I repair that? I looked at him, I said, when's besides today, you go back 20 years, what's the last thing that he said to you that he wanted you to do where you start saying no? And boy, he just dropped his head like this. And he looked up at me and I said, listen, I don't want to know. I don't need to know. Start there. The man gave me a big bear hug and walked off. I hadn't talked to him since then. But you hear that? I'm a warning. I'm warning some of you young people that, you know what? Come on, it wasn't a year ago, 6 months ago, 2 years ago. You in a relationship, God, you were so tender, the leading of God, and God speaking to your heart, and you've let the deceitfulness of sin and the hardness of heart build a wall. Do you want to be standing here 20 years from now saying, I haven't heard the voice of God? There's been no supernatural involvement in the living of my life for 20 years. A man walked off, and I remember just watching him go. And one thing it did in my heart, listen, it didn't write, no pride rose up in my heart. Fear rose up in my heart. And I said, God, if I'm not careful, that could be me. I said, Holy Spirit, I don't want you to have to yell at me. I want you to just be able to whisper. Listen, folks, every day's a gift. If you're not saved, today's a great day to get saved. But for Christians, there's so many possibilities that God will bring into your life and so many things that you can do for him and do for the good of those around you. But you're not going to know what they are if we don't just decide, starting today, I'm listening. I'm not going to harden my heart. All this deceitfulness of sin, junk, time for it to go. Time to break down that wall, that barrier that I have built between me and my God. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to meet together this morning. These good folks have taken a part of their today. Minutes have gone by and they've invested those minutes in sitting here and listening to this preacher. I don't take that lightly. There's a great responsibility that comes with that. And so, Lord, I pray, dear Lord, that this has been a profitable time. Not only a profitable time in that we've just spent together with the Bible, but that it will cause our future todays to be more profitable. Lord, if there's anyone here that does not know Jesus as their Savior, there's so much that is waiting on the other side of that decision. So much that you want to do with them and for them. But Lord, first of all, salvation, the sin thing, has to be taken care of. So Lord, I pray if there's somebody here, Lord, that you're speaking to that's never received you, I pray today you would caused them to do what this preacher did one time, coming to a Baptist church, sat, listen to the Bible, fall under conviction. During an invitation, step out of my pew, walk forward. I need to be saved. That was a good day. That was the best day. The best day of my life. So Lord, if there's someone here without Christ, may they be saved today. But Lord, help us to do inventory. Lord, I know we seem like we're coming out of a time where it seems like we've been so restricted and hampered. And Lord, I'm afraid if we're not careful, we've just kind of fallen asleep and given up. Lord, the potential that sits in this room for just what could be done the rest of the balance of this day. Well, Lord, with your help and leading, help us to realize that potential, Lord. Bless, direct us, please. Lord, if there's anyone here that has not been listening, help them to be honest with you. Help them to get help in that area of their life. We pray in Jesus' name.